Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Here at Family Talk, we are blessed to have an amazing pediatrician as our regular co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker, or Dr. Meg, as she's affectionately known. She's been practicing medicine for over 25 years and is also a best-selling author of several books on effective parenting, including Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and Strong Mothers, Strong Sons. Not only that, she's also a mother and now a grandmother, so I'd say she knows a thing or two about raising healthy kids for Christ.
And she mixes that vast professional know-how with warmth and personality, Ryan. Her blog is one of the most popular pages on our website, as parents around the country get a chance to ask Dr. Meg some of their toughest parenting questions. And from time to time, we collect those questions and answers into a broadcast. And that's what we're airing on our program today.
And an exciting announcement now, we're actually going to turn this into its own broadcast coming in 2016. Ask Dr. Meg will be a regular feature on the new upcoming Family Talk Network, airing right here from Colorado Springs. Now, we weren't able to join Dr. Meg in the studio when she recorded these questions due to prior commitments, but once again, she gives out great advice for parents in tough situations. So here now is a sneak preview of what's to come in 2016. It's Ask Dr. Meg on Family Talk.
I've tried every way I know how to discipline my 10-year-old, and she just won't listen. This is a problem that I hear parents talk about commonly, and actually I've been there myself. When you get to the point where you have a child that you've worked with over and over and over, it's time to stop what you're doing and recalibrate. Just like if you were going to be on a diet, if you tried the same thing over and over and over and failed, you would recalibrate. You'd try a new diet. You would sit down and try a totally new technique. This is exactly what you need to do when discipline is not working for a child. First of all, you need to pick a 2-week period and gear yourself up to retrain your child to the discipline technique that you're going to be implementing. This is very, very important because psychologically, you need to know that this is a fresh day and you're going to get respect from your child. The other thing that you need to do is you need to pick out 2 behaviors of your child that you find the most offensive. One of the biggest places parents fall down is they discipline for too many things at once, and they become frustrated, and they end up being poor disciplinarians. So pick 2 behaviors that you find most offensive in your child. Then you have to decide, what are the clear consequences I am going to give my child if he disobeys or breaks the rules for these 2 behaviors? I would sit down and examine your 10-year-old and figure out, where is his Achilles heel? Many times parents say, well, he doesn't have one. Every child has an Achilles heel. Often with 10-year-old boys, it's something electronic, it's friendships, it's sports, or whatever. But you need to make the consequences clear, and you need to make them uncomfortable enough, and this is very important, uncomfortable enough that your child will avoid enduring them. Now, that sounds harsh, but it's very, very important because you need to motivate your child to not want to have the consequences. Now, when you have decided what the behaviors are that you're going to discipline for, what the consequences are going to be, you sit down when you're calm and in a happy mood and you talk to your 10-year-old child and you say something like this: Jeremy, you know that you're having difficulty following orders. So here's what we're going to do. Here are the behaviors that I think that are tripping you up the most. So you kind of put it back on his shoulders and then you identify them. Say they're one is back talk, and the other one is he's chronically won't do his chores, even when you ask him. He just ignores you and blows you off. You say, okay, this is what we're going to do, Jeremy. From today on, I am not going to tolerate you speaking to me with this tone of voice. Furthermore, I'm not going to tolerate you bailing on your chores. Do you understand? And then he says yes and rolls his eyes. And then you tell him what will happen if he breaks them. And then you ask if he understands. And when he understands fully, he's off and running. Now, here's where the important part comes. The next time he breaks one of those rules, you stop everything you're doing and you implement that consequence. Say you decided to take away his laptop. You take away his laptop, he screams and yells at you, and you sit there and you smile at him. You take the laptop and you lock it somewhere and you don't let him know where the key is. When he comes to you 4 hours later and says, "But Mom, I have a lot of homework to do," you shake your head and say, "Sorry, you're not going to get your homework done for the teacher tomorrow. You'll have to tell the teacher why." And he'll scream more and more and more. In short, he's going to try to manipulate you to go back on your word. Once you go back on your word, you've lost it, and then you're going to need to recalibrate again. Here's the thing. Every child will listen to any parent when you decide that your will is going to be stronger than his will. Remember, you're doing this to raise a strong adult who is capable of self-control. He is definitely worth going to war for, so get a backbone of steel and make your discipline stick. Okay, the second question is, my son is 12 years old and refuses to eat anything healthy. What can I do? Well, here's the thing. Most 12-year-olds don't want to eat anything healthy. As a matter of fact, their bodies crave salt, sugar, and fat. And usually kids, when left on their own, go for anything salty, anything super sweet, and very fatty. And a lot of that is fast food and convenience food. Here's the thing. You can only control what your sons eat while he's at your house. You can't control what he eats at his friends' houses or on school trips or while he's at school, but you can control what he eats at home. So here's the first thing that you need to do. In your house, get rid of all junk. Now, I tell a lot of mothers this and they say, "But my husband likes his Doritos at night while he's watching football." Too bad. If dad wants his son to eat healthy, he's got to be willing to give up his Doritos. I know it's tough, but you got to do it. Second, you need to keep fresh fruit available where a child can see it at all times. On the kitchen counter, on the kitchen table, have apples and oranges and bananas out. That way, it's very easy for him to grab something healthy rather than to open all the cupboards and look as hard as he can for a bag of Fritos. Third, you need to teach him how to make smoothies. Smoothies can be a wonderful, quick meal for a lot of kids on the run. You can pack a lot of nutrition in a smoothie. Find his favorite flavor. Say it's strawberry. You know, make strawberry ice, a little bit of yogurt there, and see if you can get away with throwing in some carrot juice and some spinach. If you won't drink anything green, that's okay. Throw in some protein powder. Secondly, and this is a trick that I learned, on the middle shelf of your refrigerator, keep a plate of cut-up vegetables. And if your son doesn't like just regular old cut-up vegetables, put his favorite dipping sauce next to them. Most kids like ranch or some kind of dressing or cheddar cheese or something. So put next to those vegetables something that's going to sweeten or make the vegetables a little more palatable for him. Again, put it right at his eye level. Make it easy to grab so that when he's hungry, he just grabs it. The other thing that I would do, and I did this for my kids as well, don't let them eat hot lunch at school. I had a very cute patient come into my office and mother boasted that he was eating very well. And he told me, he was 10 years old, he was eating salad every day at school. And I said, "What a good job. You're doing a great job." I said, "Just out of curiosity, what do you put on your salad?" He said, "Well, this is what I do. I put a bunch of croutons on my plate, and then I put ranch dressing on them, and that's my salad." His mother had no idea that that was that little boy's idea of a salad. So we had to rework his lunch, and Mom started packing his lunch. When you pack your son's lunch, just put really healthy stuff in here. Here's the deal. Kids who are hungry are going to eat whatever's put in front of them. So make whatever you put in front of them really good stuff. Make sure you only buy healthy snacks when you bring him in the house and give them to him to put in his backpack. And the final thing that I would do is most 12-year-old boys want to be strong. They want to get buff. They want to be able to run faster, play soccer better, basketball better, whatever. So talk to him about the best way to get stronger and to help build his muscles, which is going to be happening pretty soon anyway as he goes through puberty, is to feed his body right. You don't have to give him a long lecture, but at least this is what I tell the young kids in my practice. Try to eat every color of the rainbow every day. Young kids have a fun time with this. You ask them, "What's red that you can eat today? Purple you can eat today? Yellow you can eat today?" 12-year-old probably won't go for that, but at least you can have a discussion about eating dark green things and lots of proteins. Here's our next question. My daughter, 16, has a very nice boyfriend. She knows how we feel about her being sexually active, but I'm suspicious that she might be. She's been with her boyfriend for 7 months and says she loves him. What should I do? Well, you have good news and bad news, and I'll start with the bad news. The bad news is this. If you suspect that she's sexually active, she probably is. Is she having sex a lot? Probably not. Particularly if she says she loves this young boy, she's having a really hard time, and he's having a hard time, resisting temptation. So you need to talk to her immediately and sit her down and have a real heart-to-heart to her. If dad has a close relationship with her too, it's really important that he be there for the discussion. I know he's going to be uncomfortable. I know you're going to be uncomfortable, but take a big deep breath and have the tough conversation anyway, because this is very, very important. Begin the conversation on a very positive note. Don't have a scowl. Don't have a look of disgust on your face. Talk about her boyfriend and point out all the things that you like about him. In other words, establish an alliance with her. Tell her that you understand why she likes him. Tell her that he is a good guy and that you have a lot of trust in him. So as you start the conversation and you're very positive and upbeat, it's very important that you set a tone where you're not going to come out with both barrels blazing and you're going to blame her. So don't assume anything going into the conversation. In other words, don't have a look on your face like, I know what you're up to. You've been caught. I'm here to straighten you out. You're a horrible kid. A lot of times we parents are so easy to read and we get this look of angst on our face and our kids are not going to talk to us when we go into a conversation with them with that look on our face. So try to erase it from your face. Begin the conversation after you've talked about him and affirm him and you understand why she is attracted to him. Ask her if she loves him. Now, a lot of parents won't do this because they say, a 16-year-old girl cannot be in love. Well, yes, they can. As a matter of fact, those feelings can be very, very intense. So here's the thing. You want to know how your daughter feels and you want to affirm her feelings, because if you come in and say she doesn't love him and she feels she does, she's going to shut down and not listen to anything you have to say. So as she talks, just nod your head. Then you have to ask her, well, this is what I know. If you're 16 and you love him and he loves you, it must be very tempting for the two of you to want to be sexually active. Do you find yourself tempted? Now, you haven't accused her of anything. You're just paving the way for that difficult conversation. Hopefully, she'll tell you yes. She may tell you no. If she tells you yes or no, it doesn't matter. The conversation goes on. Then you tell her that sex is a remarkably wonderful thing, and it's terrific because God made it to be terrific. But like any good thing, it has to be protected and there have to be rules about it. You know, you can think of some other wonderful thing that she does. If she's a really good piano player, tell her that she needs discipline to be a better pianist. If she's a soccer player, tell her, you know, that she has to apply a lot of rules and train really hard to get better. So sex is no different. Then you tell her that your job as a mom or dad, and this is really hard, but you can do it. Your job as a mom or dad is to help her get to her marriage so that when she's married, she can have an incredible sex life. Now, that's going to be very uncomfortable for your daughter. And it's very uncomfortable you say it to your son, but you got to say it anyway because they're thinking these things anyway. So you need to tell her that your job is to get her to a place where when she's older and married, she walks into her marriage psychologically healthy, emotionally healthy, and physically and sexually healthy. And then let her know if she starts having sex at 16, even with a terrific guy who may be a virgin, chances are that she's going to go into marriage with some baggage. And that's just a fact. The truth of the matter is that 1 in 4 teenagers now has a sexually transmitted infection. Your daughter needs to know that. This isn't 1 in 4 teenagers who are sexually active. It's 1 in 4 teens, period. Tell her that depression is associated with starting sexual activity early. Tell her that sex is such a serious issue now that her doctor will want to immunize her against a sexually transmitted infection, which is HPV, and that's in the Gardasil shot. So sexual activity at 16 is a really big deal, and that's what you're trying to get across to her. Then you can tell her, you know that Dad and I don't want you sexually active, so how can we help you avoid the temptation to go there? And she'll kind of look at you with a glassed over look in her eyes. And then you say, well, here are some of the things that I would do. Let's take any kind of activity that you would want to be really successful at. Let's say like dieting. Okay, if I'm going to diet, I am not going to go and I want to lose 10 pounds or 20 pounds. I'm not going to go to the grocery store, buy a box of brownies, bring the box of brownies home, bake them up, take them out of the oven, put them on the kitchen counter and smell them and go, ooh, ah, I wish I could have a brownie. If you're on a diet, you don't bake brownies. So this is about teaching her how to not bake brownies. With a boyfriend she loves, A, she doesn't spend a whole lot of alone time with him. B, he never comes over and babysits with her when adults aren't around. C, they don't spend a whole lot of time just hanging out anywhere and everywhere alone. In other words, you're role-playing with her and you're talking about scenarios where he or she could be tempted to do something they don't want to do. So you walk through that. And then the real question at the end is, what do you do if your daughter says to you, you know what, Mom, I've messed up. We did have sex once. What do I do? You don't scream or gasp or gag or choke or cry. You simply say, thank you so much for telling me that. I'm going to work very, very hard with you in the future. But what I need to do now is take you to your doctor and have him or her look at you because this is a very, very serious issue. And if you continue to keep the conversation going like that, showing that you're on her team, that you have her back, that you understand that she is tempted and that's an okay thing to be, she will continue to come to you and continue to have the conversations. My 14-year-old son loves electronics. He plays games with friends on his computer 4 to 5 hours a day. When I tell him to cut back, he yells at me and screams, what do I do? Well, you are not alone because this is not an uncommon problem that I see. 14-year-old boys are visually wired, much more so than girls, and they enjoy electronic gaming with their friends or just doing games alone, more so in general than girls do because they're very visually wired. The average child in America today, over 8 years of age, spends about 10 hours per day on some type of electronic gadgetry. So I hope all parents are listening to this. 4 to 5 hours a day of online gaming, even if it's with friends and even if the games are fun, good games to play, is too much. Here's why. Because when you spend that much time with a screen, A, there's research to show that it interferes with the quality and the amount of sleep that kids get because it interferes with your melatonin. The second thing is that it decreases a child's attention span. And this is a big beef I have with a lot of my teens who are on ADHD medication. What I'm trying to do with medication is get them to focus, to sort of say all of your neurons need to fire in one direction, if you will. That's not really what happens, but it's a good visual. So medication helps them all channel together and streamline. What you're doing when you sit in front of a game and you're gaming online or playing video games, I don't mean gambling, is you're fractionating that. You're making one fire in one way and one fire another way and another fire another way. It doesn't matter that it can sit there for 4 hours. Think about this. The images change very quickly. The sounds change really quickly. He's got to react very quickly. So he jumps. That's what's going on in his brain. The other thing is it'll eventually change the way he relates to his friends. Many parents say it's a very social activity. It really isn't a good social activity. It never replaces talking to someone face to face. And finally, we know that violence in movies and video games and online games that people play do indeed put kids at a very high risk of being more aggressive and violent when they're in their 20s. So you just need to know that the fact that your son yells when you take it away is a big red flag for me that he really can't give this up. And I wonder if he might be addicted or on his way to an addiction. So you need to take his gaming very, very seriously. And you need to treat him just like he's an addict to anything else. I think that the best way to get him away from gaming is to go cold turkey. Now, some parents say, well, I can't do that. I can't keep his computer away from him. Well, yes, you can. Remember this. Everything he has, you own. I know that sounds tough, but it's the truth. You own his computer. You own your television. You own the video games. You are 100% in charge. So what you say to him is this. Okay, you need to use your computer for your homework. So you need to do your homework at the kitchen table in front of me. No gaming allowed. He's going to pitch a fit. I know it's going to be hard, but guess what? You're tougher than him, and you need to fight for him when he can't fight for himself. If you don't want to go cold turkey, then you can wean him slowly. You know, you go down from 5 hours a day to 4.5 hours a day to 4 hours a day to 3.5 hours a day. And I actually had to do that with a 16-year-old boy who was playing online games upwards of 12 hours per day. And it was a real serious issue. So, you know, you need to really take this issue very, very seriously because your son is well on the way to becoming addicted, and you need to intervene, and you need to put your foot down, and you need to go to war for him because he can't do it on his own. You're the grown-up, and he's the kid, and you need to really take a tough stand like this and make your words stick. I'll tell you one final little thing. A lot of parents say there's nothing I can do. A friend of mine found out that her husband was addicted to porn on the internet, and one night she came down and found him on the computer. She walked over, she picked up the computer and the plug, she put it in her driveway, and she ran her car over the computer and said, I never want one of those things in the house again. That's pretty extreme, but she got her message across. Sometimes we really have to be a little extreme while we're doing the right thing for our kids.
Well, this is James Dobson again, and you've been listening to a question and answer session with Dr. Meg Meeker here on Family Talk. And you can see why our listeners love the Ask Dr. Meg programs. You know, Ryan, it's almost like having a cup of coffee and chatting with a wise friend who just happens to be an authority on parenting.
It sure is, and that's why I'm so excited for her new radio broadcast coming in 2016, Ask Dr. Meg, on the Family Talk Network. I always learn so much from these parenting programs from Dr. Meg. For more wise parenting advice, be sure to download our 2015 Ministry and Gift Resource Catalog. You'll find many great resources from both my dad and Dr. Meeker, all designed to strengthen you or someone you love as you parent the next generation of strong adults who will stand for Christ. And this year, your donation for any of these resources will be doubled. Generous friends of the ministry have stepped up to offer a matching grant, and that means every dollar you send us will go twice as far. In fact, Dad, just before we came to the studio, I received a letter from a 76-and-a-half-year-old woman. She actually wrote 76-and-a-half, donating money.
It actually says that.
It does say it in the letter. She wants to donate money because she heard about this matching grant, and her gift was doubled. And our listeners can do the same thing. They can give online at drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us at 877-732-6825. God bless. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk right here on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us 24 hours a day by downloading the new and free Family Talk mobile app. Visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.
Just how tough is it to be a good parent today?
Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
A couple of years ago, I asked 1,000 mothers and fathers to describe their greatest frustrations in raising kids. I heard all kinds of goofy stories in response about sticky telephones and wet toilet seats and shoestrings in a knot. One mother actually wanted to know why it is that a toddler never throws up in the bathroom. That would violate some kind of great unwritten law of the universe, to be sure. But in my poll, parents didn't merely laugh about their frustrations. They tended to blame themselves. They said they were overwhelmed and were losing confidence and didn't really know how to cope anymore. How sad it is that this age-old responsibility of raising children has become so burdensome and guilt-laden. Actually, the facts won't support that self-condemnation in the majority of cases. Millions of parents have handled their child-rearing responsibility with great skill, and it's time that someone patted them on the back for their commitment and their sacrifice. And someday, when the frustrations of toddlerhood and the turmoil of adolescence have passed, they'll enjoy the sweet benefits of a job well done. Hang in there, moms and dads. Your kids will be young for the mere blink of an eye.